rise above the storm. How many of you had storms this week? Physical storms. Ay, ay, ay. You can rise above the storms. There's been one or two that's come my way, but you know what? They just kind of breeze through because of the attitude. The attitude makes a big difference. The sad thing is storms are inevitable. Whether you like it or not, whether I like it or not, storms are inevitable. We're going to face it. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're not going to get a storm. Be prepared. Be ready. It's going to come your way. It's going to come my way. And it comes regularly in any case. Some are physical storms, tornadoes, floods, earthquakes. Sometimes there's personal. And you and I have experienced that as well. In a personal storm that comes our way, is a death of a loved one. That's a storm. It's not easy to navigate through that. But through God's grace, we can do it. There are job problems. You get fired. It's a storm that comes your way. And then, of course, the ones that are real close to you are soured relationships. When a relationship goes south, man, and it hurts. And so you guys have experienced that. We've experienced those storms as part of life. But I want you to never think that you can go through a storm unscathed. The thought behind it, no matter what storm you and I go through, is going to leave a mark. It's going to leave a physical mark. It can leave an emotional mark. You will not go through a storm unscathed. I will not go through a storm unscathed. It's going to have an impact on our lives. It's going to have an effect on our lives. Sometimes major, sometimes minor. But you will not go through a storm unscathed. Yes, there are memories. There are setbacks. There are emotional scares. I want you to look at the screen. The right question is not whether they will come or when they will come, but how will you and I respond to the storm? That's the question. So the right question is not whether they're going to come, because we know what? They're coming. When is it going to come? No, we know it's coming. But how will we respond to the storm when it comes? And that's the question. How am I going to respond? We all respond differently. Some are loud, some are silent, quiet. Some fall to the ground, others just cover their faces, others collapse. Each person responds differently. And last week we saw how Paul and Silas handled the storm in prison. The impact that had was phenomenal. They were in jail, in stocks, their feet were in stocks, isolated. But the Bible tells us at midnight they started to sing hymns and praise God. I mean, imagine that. Come on, guys. 12 o'clock at night, we're supposed to be snoozing. Yes, two lunatics called Christians, and they're singing. I mean, come on. What kind of people are these? Don't they know when to sleep? Well, Christians never know when to sleep. We're always awake. And it's amazing. The Bible says that the other prisoners were listening to these guys singing. What a captive audience. Can't go anywhere, man. You're in jail, you're locked up, and these two guys are singing, praising to God. It was a ground for breeding hatred and all kinds of things, but they chose to sing to the Lord. The other prisoners were listening. And I want you to notice this, guys. As the other prisoners were listening, the main guy, the prison guard, saw something. A miraculous thing from God, that God intervened, opened the gates, opened the doors, opened where they were bound, and they were set free. The guard thought, well, they're going to escape, and he wanted to kill himself. But the amazing thing is, because of Paul and Silas' commitment to God, they had an impact on the other prisoners, and they had an impact on the guard. Amen. As a matter of fact, he got saved. All because of two people that were solid in God. And that's what we saw last week. But now today, again, Paul faced a life-threatening storm. Prior to this storm, there were three others, shipwrecks. And now we're in this shipwreck where Paul is the main man again. The ship he was on was tossed about in the raging sea. It was a nor'easter that got a hold of the ship. I think there were over 200 and something people on the ship sailing to Italy. Paul did not waver at all. Everybody on the ship, well, they were fearing for their lives. Things weren't going well. And I don't know about you guys, but it's not a nice thing to be tossed to and fro by the winds and the waves on the ocean. I've been on the ocean a few times, more than a few times, with a 14-foot boat going deep-sea fishing. Four of us on that boat, five of us on that boat. And when you're out there and you just see blue and the waves are like this, and when you hit the bottom of the wave, you see nothing but just another wave. And the sharks, the great whites, are all around you. You don't know what's going to happen. If you've never prayed, you will pray. We had a guy from America with us one day, and he was on this boat with us. And he got the fear of his life. And he says, I don't know. How will people recognize or find out if I'm dead? I've got nothing here with me. If I go down, I'm dead. And then the sharks are all over the show, and he was panicking. I said, my mate, you're a Christian. It's appointed unto man and wants to die. Maybe it's the shark day. Who knows? Well, that didn't help him in any case. But they were panicking. The guys were panicking, but Paul did not. In this raging sea, Paul stood firm in his faith in the midst of the waves. In an effort to save the ship and their lives, it's 14 days. And I don't know how many fish got fed with all the ups and the downs. And I don't know if they had much to eat after the third day. But here we find that 14 days the ship was tossed to and fro in the raging sea. And all of a sudden they said, we've got to start throwing things overboard. Let's get rid of this. Let's get rid of that. We've got to try and just make the ship a little bit lighter. And so they improvise and they think of what they need to do and what they got to throw overboard just to save their lives. The sailors cast four anchors into the sea. Let's steady this thing. Let's get four anchors down. Steady it. But everything is in vain because God had another plan. Anchors proved ineffective against the storm, and the ship was ultimately lost. But a man that had a relationship with God took charge. And even the captain of the ship listened to the man of God. And he took this opportunity and said, guys, I told you we should not leave, but no, you didn't want to listen to me. And look at the mess we're in now. If only you'd listened to me. Now, you try and imagine a guy that's a prisoner because he's preaching the gospel. He's got to go to Italy and stand trial in Italy, telling a weathered captain, a captain that's experienced in sailing the seas, what he should do and should not do. I know we get a lot of opinions from people throughout the day what we should do and shouldn't do, but here's a guy telling a captain what he should and should not have done. But I want you to understand this morning. Because a man had a relationship with God, it impacts everybody around him, including the captain. When you stand for something that is right, biblically right, you stand out amongst the rest. People can give opinions. People can give advice. But when you live by the word of God and stand by the word of God, you will have an impact with the people that you work with. Because in this day and age, people are looking for direction. People are looking for peace. There's turmoil across the world. And people just want peace. Now, we know from the biblical perspective, peace ain't coming until the Prince of Peace, who is called Jesus, comes to earth again. Then there will be peace. But we do have peace within us, the peace of God. Paul also had some anchors, although they were not physical anchors. They were spiritual anchors. The physical anchors for the ship did not hold, but the spiritual anchors that Paul had within him held him and held everybody else secure. And that's where you and I come in. What are our anchors? And we're going to look at his anchors. Because these anchors steadied him during the storm. And even though that ship was shaken and battered, Paul was able to make it because he had strong anchors. Now, it is true that we can have strong anchors and we can have weak anchors. That's a fact. But we're going to concentrate on the strong anchors like Paul had. And we do have them. And as we look at Hebrews 6:19, we have this confidence. Look at the word. We have this confidence. No doubts. As a sure and strong anchor for our lives. Notice, we have this confidence. I'm not tossed to and fro. I've got this confidence as a sure and strong anchor for our lives. This confidence goes into the holy place behind the curtain, referring to the tabernacle of the old times, where God met with the high priest, the presence of God. We've got the sure confidence, the presence of God. Now, I'll ask you this morning, if you've got the sure confidence of the presence of God, can we face anything? If God is present in our lives, can we face anything? Can we face everything? Why? Why? If God's for us, who can be against us? Can God be overwhelmed? Is God a myth? No? Is God relevant today? Hasn't science proven that we don't need God? God is so relevant. We don't want to go into the spiritual sides. People don't want to acknowledge that there's a God, because when you get to know God, the old ways have got to go, the things that don't please him. So they'd rather not want to acknowledge God and know God, because their lives have got to change. But if you acknowledge God and your life begins to change, it changes for the better. Especially when you start looking at the Ten Commandments of the Old Testament, and we find that all fulfilled in the New Testament. I mean, if we have to adhere by the Bible, you know, they knock the Bible so much. They knock Christianity so much. But I want you to know that Christianity brings peace through Jesus Christ. I want you to know this morning, because you are Christian, you don't have to be ashamed. There are good principles, and those principles have an impact on society. If we didn't have the principles found within the Christian world, let's just go steal. Let's just go murder. Let's just be corrupt. No, it's because of principles that we don't do that. And because we don't do it, it benefits a lot of people. So the Christian value is so tremendous to have in your lives. And that's why he says, we have this confidence as a sure and strong anchor for our lives. And the same anchors that kept Paul steady on his stormy seas are available to you and me. I want us to look at the presence of God as an anchor in Paul's life in Acts chapter 27, verse 23. New Living Translation. For last night an angel of the God, notice, to whom I belong. Don't we all belong to God? Well, only certain people belong to God. Come on, think about it. I've mentioned this before and I'll say it again. You're not born a Christian. When you and I are born into this world, we are born sinners. We become followers of Christ through Jesus Christ. So we cannot use the excuse, my father was a Christian, my mother was a Christian, my grandfather used to go to that church, my mother used to go, oh, their names are on the board. Yeah, sure. It's a personal experience that makes you a follower of Jesus by accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior. And that's why Paul had this experience. He was on his way to go imprison Christians when God appeared to him and said, "Why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "What am I doing?" And he had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and his life changed. And that's why he can say now, "For last night an angel of the God to whom I belong." So did he belong to God before? No. No. Because within the spiritual world, there are two kingdoms. We've mentioned this. The kingdom of darkness and the kingdom. Those are the only two kingdoms. There are no in-betweens. There are no alternatives. There's the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. The kingdom of light, God is the kingdom of light. Satan is the kingdom of darkness. Is there a Satan though? Is there a devil? Yeah, he's different than the one with the horns and the tail fork. The forked tail. So yeah, totally different. So we find there is a Satan. There is an adversary. There's somebody that wants to destroy, but there's somebody that loves. There's one that hates, there's one that loves. God is the God of love. So for last night, an angel of God to whom I belonged. But he didn't only belong to God. What did he do? He served God. He served God. The one to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me. What an experience. The presence of God in the midst of a storm. When the presence of God is in the midst of the storm, there's two things. What do you think they are? One starts with a T and one starts with a P. Peace? What's the other one? Starts with a T. Tranquility. The peace of God. The storm's raging. Folks are throwing things overboard. But he has a man full of peace. It's almost like, just bring it on. Bring it on. I'm happy. And so you and I can go through trials of life. We can face the storms if we acknowledge this. Do you belong to God? Yes, you do. If you belong to God, do you serve God? Yes. If you belong to God and serve God, there's peace and tranquility. And that's why Paul found that even in the midst of the raging storm, he was not alone. The Lord came to minister to him. Listen, in the midst of the storm, he was not alone. Who was with him? God. Can God be present in the midst of your storm? Oh, you overwhelming. He said, yes. Have you experienced that? Now remember, Hebrews 13 verse 5, not on the screen. Listen, I will never leave you. Oh, you know the scripture. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Wait. What about a storm? What about a storm? You think he's still there? Oh, yes, he's there. Oh, yeah. I'm glad I'm a Christian. I'm glad I'm a follower of God. In the midst of the storm, I can recall the scripture, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So, in your next storm, are you ready for your next storm? Oh. I'm ready. Bring it on. I'm ready for the next storm. So in the midst of the next storm, are you ready for it? Yeah. Why? The presence of God. Not only the presence of God, but the promise of God. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Oh, what about Matthew 28, verse 20? I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So that's a promise. God is with us. And here we find the anchor in his life, in Paul's life, in the midst of the ship being wrecked and going apart, he had peace because he belonged to God and served him. Oh, I remember another scripture. What is that scripture? Oh, we grew up with that scripture. Psalm 23, verse 4. Even if I walk, through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why not? Because you are? Because you are with me. You are with me. So now the question again. Can you face the storm? Be reminded of the promises. Because that's what he did. And he acknowledged the presence of God. So in the midst of the storm, what can the storm do? If God is in the storm, what can the storm do? But you will not go unscathed. Remember when he got to shore, what happened? He was gathering some wood. Snake bit him. He's got marks. But not only that, as a Christian, he was beaten. So you and I will face storms, and we're not going to leave that storm unscathed. But that doesn't mean that's the end of our lives. I just bear witness of the power of God in my life. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. In Acts 27, 25, Paul says, I believe God. So the angel of God, God himself, manifests himself. The presence of God is there. And Paul addresses the people. As he addresses the people, the prisoners, the guards, the soldiers on board, he says, so take courage. Notice this though. If he says take courage, most probably he was the only Christian on that ship. Most probably the only Christian. It was a ship from Egypt. And he says, so take courage, which I would interpret the others were all discouraged. Why would he say take courage if there was courage? So there must have been a lot of people discouraged. And he says to them, so take courage. Why? I believe God. Now that's where society steps in today or comes into play. Who do we believe? I was appalled, shocked at an article I read during the course of this week about Pope Francis. I will vent a little bit, and I'm very grateful for Wednesday night. Lord, change my attitude before it's too late. But every now and then, I've just got to vent a little bit, all right? So I will sin voluntarily, but I will also ask for forgiveness immediately after I've sinned. Because that's what the Bible says, right? We're in a very delicate situation in our country right now with the voting. The knives are out, and we're not speaking politics. The knives are out. There are all kinds of attacks on the people and the two running for office. But for, this is my interpretation. For Pope Francis, the Pope of the Catholic Church, to refer to both people, Kamala Harris and Donald Trump, as two evils. And he brings in into the equation that both of them are murderers. They're both evil. Because the one stands for abortion. Kamala Harris stands for abortion. Donald Trump stands for deporting migrants. Now, I want you to understand this concept. To me, it is the most horrific thing for him to have said, to equate migrants being deported the same as killing babies. This is ridiculous, guys. This is ridiculous. And then to go further and state, you, the people, will have to choose the better of the two evils. The Pope should know the Bible. To make that kind of statement is ludicrous. Ludicrous. Ridiculous. Because you cannot put on the same pedestal a migrant and a baby being butchered. So you and I are standing before God and we've got to make a decision. But my decision that I'm going to make must be based on the Word of God to the best of my ability. And I believe God. So if I'm a child of God and I believe God, I've got to then adhere to His laws, to His principles, to the guidelines He's put within the Scriptures. And He says to these guys, take courage, you discouraged people. And here's a man of God standing up in the presence of all these people, most probably 250, 300 people. Take courage, for I believe God, and it will be just as He said. Because the Bible says, God is not a man that He should lie. So if God says it, I believe it. I believe it. Well, I don't believe there's the end of the earth. I don't care what you believe. God said there's going to be an end. God said there's coming tribulation. I don't believe there's coming tribulation. I don't care what you believe. God said it. There's going to be a one world government. I don't believe it. God said it. I don't believe in a monetary crash. You better believe it. For I believe God. It will be just as He said. You see, he knew God was with him and everything was going to be all right. Let's pause. If you know God is with you, is everything going to be all right? Yeah. Yep. Will you come out unscathed? Nope. Will there be maybe some marks? Yeah. But God is with you. God is with me. God was with him. And then, of course, the other anchor in his life is the promise of God. And as I go back to the anchor that God is with me, I believe God is with me because I have a personal relationship with him. You and I have a personal relationship with God. If you do not have a personal relationship with God, would you form one today? Jesus, I need you into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I want to serve you from today onwards. The anchor that Paul had was the promise of God found in Acts 27, verses 24 and 25. Paul said, don't be afraid. Paul, for you surely stand trial before... God said to Paul, sorry. The angel said to Paul, don't be afraid. Paul, for you will surely stand trial before Caesar. Now, I ask the question then this morning, what is better? Shipwreck or standing trial before Caesar. Maybe God intervened and wanted me to have a shipwreck. That will save me from going and standing before Caesar and representing myself and God. Nope. You will stand trial before Caesar. How encouraging does that sound? You know what, guys? I'm going to save you during the shipwreck because you've got to go stand trial one day. Give me a break. Just let me get on my boat and get out. Let me flee. Then I don't have to go stand trial. Well, the guards wanted to kill all the prisoners in any case on that boat. What's more, look at this, guys. The ship is wrecked. What's more, God in His goodness has granted what? Safety. To who? Do you see the impact of one man? Because of one man that had a relationship with God. You may be the only person in your work that loves God. Thank Him for that. Be the light. There was one man His light was shining. One man that had a relationship with God, and the entire ship was saved. Crew was saved. Why? Because of one man called Paul. So don't whine. I'm the only. You know how many times I've heard this? You know, I'm the only Christian in my work. I wish I could find a job where everybody's Christians. Oh, how's your light going to shine then? How's your light going to shine? I mean, then it's all singing to the choir. And then we're not making disciples. So if you say that again, I'm the only Christian at school. I'm the only Christian at work. Get over it. Thank God that you are there to shine the light. Oh, you don't know my situation. No, I don't. But God's presence is there. God in his goodness has granted safety to everyone sailing with you. Fear not, Paul. You must be brought to Caesar. And God is giving you the safety, your safety, and everybody else with you. As Paul weathered that long, terrible storm, the Lord came to him with this promise. He knew God was a promise-keeping God. Do you know some of the promises of God? How many are there? Just think about that. I'll give you some hints in a minute. We find that in Romans 4:21, what he promises, he's able to perform. Not on the screen, just write it down. Romans 4:21. What he promises, he's able to perform. He promises them safety. Was he able to perform that? Now, come on. Come on. We've got to put ourselves in the position of Paul. In his situation, being on the ship, battered by a nor'easter, seeing everybody panicking, throwing things overboard, the ship disintegrating, the guards want to kill everybody, and God says, hey, don't worry, my mate. I've got everything under control. It's going to be safe for you and safe for anyone. You've got to get to Italy, okay? Let's get ashore. So we think, okay, now we're ashore. What happens next? Go gather some sticks. What happens? A snake bites him. I mean, don't things come in threes? And you think, God, where are you? Why are you allowing this to happen? I don't understand it. Well, you've got to go to Italy, my mate. But do I have to go through all these things? Yeah, because I'm using you to show the people my power. And because you love me, you're an instrument in my hands so that my name can be glorified. So every single one of us are an instrument in God's hands. What he promises, he is able to perform. And as I look through the word of God, I find it's full of promises. And if you do a little research, you will find there's over 8,000 promises in the word of God. If we have so many promises, aren't we okay? Of course we're okay. But sometimes we allow our flesh and our emotion to get the better of us. Fear not, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And the angel of the Lord that ministered to Paul told him God's plan was for Paul to get there. In verse 42 it says, the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners because they were afraid they would swim away and escape. That was the plan. They were going to kill all the prisoners. But God's plan was what? Everybody to live. You see, today we think we can just get rid of problems by killing people. You disagree with somebody? Shoot them. They steal your parking space? Shoot them. That's what's happening throughout our country. Thinking that we can resolve differences by just shooting people. And then we want to blame the guns. I've never seen a gun just go off. I've never seen a gun wake up one morning and say, you know what, I'm going to kill somebody today. Leave the guns out of this thing. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. A thing that Paul was familiar with in the God's Word translation. I know the plans that I have for you. How does he know that? declares the Lord. They are plans for peace and not disaster. Plans to give you a future filled with hope. So we recognize God in His sovereignty knows what's best. God in His sovereignty will allow us to go through difficult times. And there's a reason attached to it. And sometimes I don't know the reason. But I do know that God has a plan and a purpose. Do I know His full plan? No. Do I know His full purpose? No. But what I do know, He wants me to serve Him. He wants me to honor Him. He wants me to enjoy Him. And I do that to the best of my ability. And yet we find that God had a plan and a purpose for Paul. And even though he was in the storm of his life, he knew he was living for Christ. He was a prisoner, yet he had a purpose. Don't let your storm just define you. The storm is there to test. The storm is there to try. But the storm cannot break you, folks. Not if you're in Christ. The storm can mold and the storm can shape you. He was a prisoner, but he had a purpose. And his purpose, what was his purpose? Think about it. What was Paul's purpose? To share the gospel. To share the good news. To share that there's a God. To share that Jesus is the Messiah. To share that sins can be forgiven. That was his purpose. That was his calling. That's your purpose, my purpose. That's our calling. To share with people the love of God. To share with people that God can set captives free. To share with people that our sins can be forgiven. That's what Paul's purpose was. Your purpose, my purpose, exactly the same purpose. Do we share the good news? To the best of our ability, we do it. And then we find another anchor, God's power. In Acts 27, 43, 44. God's word translation. However, the officer wanted to save Paul. Paul earned respect. You and I earn respect when we stand for biblical values and principles. So he stopped the soldiers from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first. I like this. All right, guys, everybody that can swim, jump overboard. Then he ordered the rest to follow on planks or some other pieces of wood from the ship. In this way, everyone got to shore safely. Was it the captain that brought the people to safety on the shore, or was it God? Wasn't it God using the captain? Yeah. So God can use a sinner. So his name can be glorified. But notice, all this is fulfillment of what God told Paul. In other words, Paul got the memo first. The captain just followed orders, because God told Paul, everybody will be safe. So you and I have got a direct line, because we're children of the living God, and that's so beautiful. Only the power of God is strong enough to be your anchor in the midst of the storm, nothing else. If I'm in a storm, maybe you should take a picture of this. Or write it down. If I'm in a storm, I want to be anchored to the strong power of the one who can do what? Calm the winds and the waves. Who's that person? Jesus. Jesus. Didn't he calm the waves with the disciples? Didn't he calm the storm? Storm, shut up. Storm, be quiet. That's what he said. What was the condition of the disciples in the boat? You see, and I'll elaborate a little bit. If I'm in a storm, I want to be anchored to the strong power of the one who can calm the winds and the waves. Take your memory back to Jesus with his disciples. on a boat. He was sleeping. The disciples were navigating the boat. When the Bible says, out of the blue came a severe storm. They were all terrified. And Jesus was sleeping. Are you serious? I am fighting the storm to keep this boat from sinking. And you are sleeping? Why was he sleeping? He was tired. Of course. He was tired. But he had peace. What is the overwhelming thinking? What is the main thought over here? He knew who he was. The Son of God. And his life was directed by the Father. In other words, nothing could happen to him unless the Father ordained it. So he's at peace. The disciples still had to learn that secret. No matter what the storm. We just saw that earlier on. God is with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. So they are panicking. The storm is hitting. The waves are against this boat. And they go to Jesus and say, don't you care about us? Man, somebody must wake me up like that. Oh my gosh. Storm, oh you of little faith. He says, oh you of little faith. Storm, be quiet. I mean, think about that. Oh, come on. Do you believe that story? That Jesus can tell the storm, be quiet, and all of a sudden it's quiet? Of course I believe the story. Storm, be quiet. And what happened to the storm? When God speaks, nature listens. The only people that don't listen are people. Only the power of God is strong enough to be your anchor in the midst of the storm. Nothing else, no one else is strong enough. Look at the next one. If I'm in a storm, what do I want to do? I want to be anchored to the strong power. I just want to be anchored to the strong power of the one who can calm the winds of the storm. God is able to work it all out. He will get you through your storm and land you safely beyond it. I can promise you this, no storm in life will be able to blow you off course if you are holding on to the strong anchor of God's power. A storm cannot blow you off course if you remain solid in God. And I'm asking you, stay solid in God. The next 2 months, man, is going to heat up. It's going to heat up. Stay solid in God. If possible, try and cut out a lot of your television. Try and cut out a lot of your radio. Try and cut out a lot of the stuff on Facebook, on X, wherever the stuff is, on social medias. Try and cut a lot of that stuff out because you're going to get worked up. And I don't want you to get to the ER. Jen doesn't want you there. She'll just send you back to church. Go, you need prayer. Go back so pastor can pray with you. You'll get ulcers, and the money you spend on medication, you could give towards God's work. Can I trust God? Can you trust God? How do you know that? How do you know you can trust Him? Has He proven Himself before? Has He failed you? Of course I can trust Him. Can I trust Him with everything or just some things? Other stuff I'm going to sort out myself. But can I trust Him for everything? I want you to understand the concept of this. The God that you and I serve is one big God in the sense of majestic, powerful, spoke everything into being. And that's why Luke 1:37 is so precious. Let's read it together. For? Nothing? Nothing? Nothing is impossible with God. But somehow, at times, we don't believe that. Because there's times that we find ourselves in a valley, we find ourselves in a mess, we find ourselves in turmoil, and then we say, God, if you are out there, can you answer my prayer? But yet we forget the scripture. For nothing is impossible with God. Oh, what about Jeremiah 32 verse 17? And I'll start wrapping it up. Dear God, my master, the Message translation, you created earth and sky by your great power. Do you know that at this point in time, the atheistic view is diminishing? It's no longer saying that there is no God. Even within the scientific world, they're now coming to the conclusion, only now, that there has to be a designer. How long did it take? All they had to do is read Genesis 1, 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. And they just had to read this. And so we find even the evolution process, the evolutionary process that has been taught at schools is no longer popular. It's been debunked. But some schools still try and teach it in their curriculums. It's been debunked. Evolution has been debunked. There's got to be a designer. By golly, Miss Molly, I could have saved you millions. You could have paid our anniversary over and over and over, man. Dear God, my master, you created what? Earth, sky. How? By your great power. By merely stretching out your arm. Guys, this is powerful. Stars, that was me now. Stars be there. Sun, shine, moon, boom. I'll have a ball creating all these things. Wow. Just see it happen. Boom, 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 boom. Telling the waters, thus far, no further. You are going to stay within your boundaries. Like we say at Crossway, stay in your lane. You created earth and sky by your great power, by merely stretching out your arm. Oh, let's say this together. There is nothing you can't do. Remember that. Remember that. There's nothing. So when the storms come, let's go back to Paul and Silas. When the storm came in the prison, what do? They started singing to God. Good thing to learn. When challenging times come your way, don't sing the blues. Sing, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. There is nothing you can't do. I'm going to wrap this up and I want you to look at the screen. If God has the power to cause an axe head to float, if God can cause a donkey to talk, and he's done all those things. If he has power to split the Red Sea and the Jordan River, and he's done that. If God can raise the dead, and he's done that. If God can tell the thunder and the lightning to cease, and he's done that. He has the power to do what? Which means? Look at the next slide. Which means? You believe it? Nicole, go back to where we started with those two slides. If God has the power. Thanks. If God has the power to cause an axe head to float, can an axe head float? A metal axe head float, can it float? He made it float. If God can cause a donkey to talk, can a donkey talk? Hee-haw, hee-haw, that's all it says. But can a donkey speak Hebrew? He did. He did. And there was no translation in those days for us English people. If God can cause a donkey to talk, he did it. If he has the power to split the Red Sea, was he able to do that with 3 million people coming from Egypt through the Red Sea? Was he able to split the Red Sea? Yeah. Was he able to say, okay, Red Sea, close up, and all the chariots got washed under the Red Sea? Yeah, he did that. If God can raise the dead, oh yeah, he did that. If God can tell the thunder and the lightning to cease, how many times has he not done that? He has the power to keep me safe through the storm. I want to encourage you this morning. Keep on sailing. Keep on sailing, because you can rise above the storm. No matter what the storm is, you are safe and secure in God. What have I got to fear? What can I fear? Oh, they can take my life, so what? The Bible tells me there's a resurrected body. To die is gain. To die is gain. There's a resurrected body. And as I've told you before, and I'll say it again, if you think this is smart, wait until you see me next time. Wait until you see my glorified body. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Come on, let's pray. Father, I love you.